The title I've got here in my message this morning is Healing in the Four Gospels. Healing in the Four Gospels. Our topic is, of course, is divine health or healing through faith in God. I'm going to give you two texts. We'll start up with Matthew chapter 23 and 24. I'm reading the King James Version. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, we see a replica of what he said there. He says, "And Jesus went about," Matthew says, "all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people." I want you to notice three things in the ministry of Jesus there. Number one, he put teaching first. I put teaching first. Not music, not worship. I put teaching first because that's primary. We have to know about God. Number one is teaching. Consisted of Jesus' ministry, teaching. Number one, two, preaching. Of course, preaching the word. And number three, healing. Healing is a huge. Can you say huge?
Huge.
Come on, say it like you mean it. Say huge. It's huge. It's big. It's big in everywhere, not just church. It's big in your life. And you know, Jesus spent one third of his ministry in healing, and people, you know, they look at you sideways when you mention healing in church. So my message here I want to give to you that healing was made available through Jesus Christ to every one of his family. Healing is a benefit from the redemptive plan of God. And I want to just say this as an introduction. When it comes to our health, we all want to be well, don't we? My ancestors have practiced healing for centuries. I remember my grandmother received help from medicine men. They would come to our home area. The medicine man would come in. He'd bring his little bottles and give my grandmother these medicines, and she would drink them for, I don't know what she was talking about, what it was for. It reminded me when I was used to watch these Western movies. These guys would sell, you know, this one bottle heal everything. Snake oil or whatever. I mean, you try this, rub it on or whatever. But, as a kid, I saw that. I saw my aunt take that medicine. I saw, not necessarily take it, but receive that medicine. I see my great aunt take it. I'd go to my grandmother's and I'd look under her bed. I'd see that medicine there. I'd shake it up a little bit. See all kinds of stuff in there. Scared me. I never drank it. I think Ed tried it once. He turned green. The Ed's over there. Move your hand, Ed. That's Ed, my brother, my cousin brother. And my great aunt would take it, my uncles. Different ones that I knew received that. So. And it was a controversy of taking that medicine. There was a controversy about that man who made that medicine. So he went in the bush and got these medicines through the ground and the roots and plants and all that stuff, and he made this medicine. And there was always a controversy about it, about people talked about it, was if it was bad, it was good, it was maybe devilish, maybe it was, I don't know. There was always a controversy about it. And I didn't know whether or not what was up or down. Healing has always been a controversy in the church. Denominations have fought over it. Even split churches over it. Whether healing was done away with, whether healing is available for now, today, and still even in this room, if you talk about it, you would probably have all kinds of views about healing. And even the medical fields, even in the medicine, medical science today, medical field, we find healing hasn't been a controversy in terms of treatments, procedures, practices, even some medicines. Medicines today, some medicines are, there's a controversy about some medicines will do you more harm than good. So healing is a controversy. In every area, every facet of life, we have within certain medical specialist practices such as chiropractors. People say, well, is it good or bad? They'll stretch you out. You'll always have to keep going. And they'll kill you and whatever, break your neck. I mean, all kinds of stuff going on. We have naturopathic medicines. I have a sister. I grew up in one of these homes, and she became a naturopathic doctor. And they practice. It's a controversy. You talk to a doctor, they'll say, no, I wouldn't go to the naturopathic. No, I wouldn't go to a chiropractor. And yet some of you are going there regularly. Why don't you listen? No, I'm just kidding. So I'm just telling you, it's a controversy, right? That's why I'm saying that. And so we have all kinds of views on healing and health. And no matter where you look today, the road to health is not an easy route because you have all kinds of views in our society on healing and medicine. So I want to cover the healings in Jesus' ministry in the Gospels and to see what we can answer today. First of all, the Jesus ministry consists of three areas, as I told you. Number one is teaching, and so you have to teach the Word of God so that people have faith for healing. So he would explain the Word of God to them. Number two, he preached, and that is he told them and encouraged people that healing is available to them. And what it would bring them. Number three, he healed the sick. He spent time ministering healing in a spiritual way. He ministered to each person, whether it was a spiritual malady they have or a physical malady. As you saw earlier, we read, he cast out devils, healed the sick, and he did all that. The purpose of his appearance, you know, why Jesus came, the Bible says he came to destroy the works of the devil and to give us God's best concerning healing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says that he that committed sin is of the devil, and the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose and for this reason, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. The word destroy, if you look at the Amplified, is to undo the works of the devil. He wants, Jesus came, that's why he came, to undo whatever the devil has done, even to you right now. He wants to undo it. He wants to take it away from you. He said in John 10:10, Jesus said himself, the thief comes to kill, to steal, to kill and destroy. Then he contrasts the devil's work and his work. He said, but I am come that you might find life, that you might have life. The word life, word there is zoe. The Greek word is zoe. It means the God kind or the God, the God kind and type of life of God. The God kind of life. That you might have the God kind of life and have it more abundantly. Not just abundantly, but more abundantly. So when you are sick and held captive, it's not abundant life. You know, if you're not enjoying life, you have to ask yourself why. Why am I not enjoying life? So we see Jesus saying those two things in John And further, he said, John 14:12, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that's us, we believe on him. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go my Father. He's telling us that we should do what he is doing. And I, many years, listened to Brother Hagin. He said, if you ever want to learn about the anointing, follow what Jesus did. How did he do it? If you want to learn about healing, how did Jesus do it? Follow what he did. So we can do what Jesus did and follow his works and teach what he taught and minister the anointing like he did. He said over here before he left for heaven, Mark chapter 16, verse 17 to 20, I'm reading the King James again, and these signs, what kind of sign is that? Well, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues. You know, I've cast devils out. I'm sure you've done it. I've had devils talk to me. I told them, you know, go talk to Ken. he didn't want him either. But you know, I didn't expect the devils to talk to me a number of times. I'm ministering. It surprised me in great detail if I told you about it. It just floored me thinking about somebody talking to me. But anyway, it says, and they shall speak with new tongues. That's a sign. You know, you need both. You need the Spirit of God to cast devils out, and you need the Spirit of God to speak in tongues. I spoke in tongues one day, and it was like I couldn't help it. But my wife said, and Pastor Ken said, they just go ahead. They went ahead and forced it out. Just by faith. They're great faith people. But me, I needed more help. The Holy Spirit seemed to grab me and force me to speak in tongues. It's like I had no choice. It happened to me a few times. And I went out into the Spirit, and I went out to a trance and had experienced some things, the heavenly things. And I told my wife, if I didn't have several experiences in the heavenly realm, I would have never been a pastor today, knowing what I went through in the number of years. I would have never stayed a pastor. And it's important, you know, God will give you what you need, right? They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That's divine protection, man. That's authority of the believer. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. That's what I want to get to, because that's been told to you and me. We're told to lay hands on the sick, and that they would recover. Verse 19, so after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was raised, received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20, and they went forth. Those disciples went forth, and they preached everywhere. Notice this, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. I noticed that when they went out and preached about the Holy Spirit, people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. I saw that all the way through in the book of Acts. Four general areas, four places that was very significant. And that's pretty much some of those things are all controversy too. There's two streams of healing in Jesus' ministry. If you study this, you'll find this, that two streams of healing. One is faith in God's word by teaching. Number two, the anointing of the Holy Spirit in ministry through the gifts. Jesus ministered that way. You know, when Jesus told some of those people, rise up and walk, and he never taught anything. Rise up and walk, that was through the gifts of the Spirit. It wasn't, he never taught anything. And that's what we call the gift of faith that he was operating in, and gift of healings and miracles and faith. You know, suddenly faith comes upon you. I've had that happen to me a number of times where faith came upon me. Just like the first time it happened to me, faith came upon me. I was in Kenora, Ontario, and all of a sudden I realized, just like he slapped me in the head, I realized I'm a pastor. What? And I realized I didn't have a church. I didn't have people. I was far from being a pastor, but I knew I was a pastor. It didn't manifest for a while. And the anointing came and the anointing left. I knew I was called to be a pastor. Of course, I knew it when I was a young kid, but then I really knew it. And the Lord began to show. The anointing is like that. And so when the anointing comes on you to minister to someone who is ill and they have a terrible problem, and you just have faith to do it. And you didn't teach them. You didn't have a teaching service, and you just went ahead and ministered by faith, and they're healed suddenly. I've done that with the Holy Spirit, ministering the Holy Spirit with people. So this is the what we call the anointing. And so Jesus, there's two ways Jesus did it. It's through teaching and faith in God's word. Number two is the anointing by the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Spirit and manifestation. You'll see this all through the Gospels. And also, you notice that there's seven methods of healing. We won't go into every one of them, but the best way to be healed is know for yourself that healing belongs to you according to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, 1 Peter 2:24, and Matthew 8, 6, 17. If you know that, no one will ever have to pray for you for healing. No one. You just know. It belongs to me. Satan, you can't put that on me. I'm already healed. I don't receive your symptoms. The best way to be healed, you don't have to have healing lines. You don't have to go into a healing line. No one has to pray with you. But not everybody is at that level, and so there's other ways to be healed. Amen? What a wonderful God we have. He always provides for us. So there's another way we can determine to be healed. The second one is demand yourself to be well using the name of Jesus. The scripture says that John 14:14, he says, yes, ask. That word ask is actually the word demand. Demand me anything in my name and I'll do it. This is not about prayer. This is just taking authority. It's just like the disciples walking down and they saw the man at the gate, beautiful, and he says, be healed in Jesus' name. He didn't do a teaching service. He demanded them to be well. And that's powerful. Thank God for that. Amen? Here's what he says, Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Peter said, I don't have any silver and gold for you. I'm reading the New Living. But I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Get up and walk. You can take the $10 or be healed. I'll take the healing. Amen? Next time you go to, we call it the green store. What is it? And then there's a yellow store. What's that one called? No Frills. So we don't call it by the actual name, my wife and I. Where are you at? I'm at the yellow store. Which one? Oh, it's over here. But anyways, that's called old age, maybe. I don't know. But it's good. Number three. Pray to the Father using the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray according to your word, you said. The Bible says, and John gave us his name, John 16:23 and verse 24. Glory to God, amen. Mark 11:23-24. Jesus said to his disciples, to pray to the Father using my name, and he'll give you whatever you ask for. The name of Jesus is the key to anything we ask in life. Or anything we demand as well. John 16:23-24 says, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Before Jesus died and rose from the dead, they didn't use a name. But after he left, he said, you can use my name, as if I'm there myself. You can give somebody your... Sometimes I want to give Pastor Ken my card here. My res card. Go get some gas, Pastor Ken. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you that whatsoever, that's including healing, you ask in the Father in my name, he will give it you. That's pretty good. Another one is the prayer of agreement. If your faith is not doing well and you need some help, extra help, and I've done it, ask my wife to pray for me, or she pray for me. You know, it's good. That's why you have a good, you know, mate that you're traveling with through this world, they know how to pray. We always joke about it, on your last day. What are you going to do? You going to let me go? Okay, anyway, the Bible says, I ask you again, Matthew 18:19, again I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth, touching anything, including healing, that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Two people agreeing together. You don't have to pray about it. Just say, hey, honey, can you agree with me? You could pray about it. Just say, yeah, I claim my healing coming alongside with me. So we do that. So the prayer of faith is prayed. You pray the prayer of faith, and there's a way to do that. There's find out how to do that, and you can do that. The Bible says, Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they agree? So we have to agree on it. Amen? You know, in Acts chapter 5, they prayed, that's a corporate one. Lord, stretch forth thy hand to heal, let signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Acts 4, 29 and 30. And in Acts 5, verse 12, God answered their prayer, and many signs and wonders that the apostles did. Healings and so forth and so on. Here's number 5, the prayer of faith. This is not a way you can get healed. Jesus said, you can pray faith for anything, it shall be done. If the prayer of faith generally, as a rule, is for you. You can't just pray the prayer of faith for anybody unless they agree with you. You have to get them to agree. And sometimes you can get them to agree and they won't even know. Just say, can I just pray for you? Just say, okay, I'm going to pray for you concerning the area here. We'll pray for you. So sometimes people say, well, you know, so-and-so is in the hospital and we want you to pray for him, and we want you to go there. He's under, and, you know. So you have to understand, either you have to get God's word on what to do, put up your spiritual antenna and pray in the Holy Spirit to see if he says something. If he doesn't say anything, go ahead and apply the word of God and pray for healing. The question is, if you're praying the prayer of faith with somebody, praying over somebody, what do they believe? What do they want? Maybe they don't want to hang around here. Maybe you're keeping them here. So we have to pray, you know, in faith for somebody. We have to understand the agreement as well, right? So you can use the prayer of faith for yourself. It'll always work for you and make it work for yourself. The Bible says, Matthew 21 and 22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. And then the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit is another way to receive, and most of the time in charismatic churches, this is how their favorite one is. Like the Pool of Bethesda, they all want everybody to do it for them. They don't want any teaching that were not taught before. In fact, if you want to teach them, say, don't, just go ahead and pray for me. But you can't really pray for someone and really get the results you want unless you tell them something. Give them the word. They can get on the word and agree with God's word. And gifts of the Spirit, I've ministered on the gifts of the Spirit with healing. We didn't have to teach anybody at times, and just healing started going everywhere. People started receiving healing. And I've seen it in different ministries, and people got healed that way. Tremendous healings happened. And they got healed, and then they got attacked again and lost their healing. Why? Because they couldn't maintain what they got. That's why Jesus said, hold on what you got. Because the devil can steal. He's a thief. And he'll come and trick you, talk you out of different things, and you got to know how to stop him. The Bible says resist him. When the symptoms come, you say, devil, listen, I was healed here. You back off. I'm not receiving your symptoms. And you stand that way until it totally goes away. And sometimes fear, people get fear, and then it throws them all off. So gifts of the Spirit, according to, 1 Corinthians over there in 12, it talks about 7 and 11, talks about the gifts of the Spirit. One of them is their faith, gift of faith, healing, and miracles. It's all in there, and you could get healed that way. And either they don't work independently. It usually works by this way. Suddenly somebody, a man of God or somebody gets a word of knowledge, you're sick, or get a discerning of spirit. I notice, I sense, that you're in great pain and so on. And, you got this problem. And God says, if you do this, you'll be healed. And that's a gift of gifts of the Spirit and manifestation. That's wonderful. But they don't always work all the time, everybody. But the Word of God works all the time. So you have to wait for these things to happen and allow the Spirit of God to use you to minister that way. But it doesn't always happen that way. And so you have to teach people. That's why Jesus spent most of the time teaching people. And over in John chapter 5, you'll see verse 6 to 9, you'll see when Jesus saw a man lying there for a long time, he knew in a long time in that case, he said unto the man, will you be made whole? John 5, 6. The impotent man answered, sir, have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another step down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise up and take up thy bed. Now, he never taught him anything, verse 8. He didn't teach him anything. He didn't say, here's, you were at my church for a long time, and now I'm going to pray for you. He didn't read any of my books. He didn't come to my seminar. No, Jesus never did anything. Right? He didn't. He was not at the convention of healing. He just come up there. The man is there. And he says, rise up and walk. That's the gifts of the Spirit. You have to see it. The man has to see it when you minister. Or you got to hear the Holy Spirit talk to you in a very clear voice that to do whatever. Jesus said, I always do what my Father shows me. That's the gifts of the Spirit, the discerning of spirits, manifestation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and you know the answer before it ever happens. That's why you're so confident. The Bible says, verse 9, immediately the man was made whole. That's a miracle. That's not just a healing, it's a miracle. It took, about five gifts of the Spirit for this thing to happen. It took a discerning of spirits. It took a word of law, a knowledge, word of wisdom. He knew the man a long time in that case. He knew what was going to happen beforehand. It took the healing, but it also took a miracle and took a faith, the faith for the man to receive his healing. It took all those gifts all at once, and that particular one, those are gifts of the Spirit and manifestation. Thank God for that. They do work. Praise God. I'm praying that somebody else will get that today here. Be open. Don't say, I'll believe when I see it. Well, you're not going to see it. The last one I want to mention to you is laying on of hands. This is the primary method that Jesus used to heal people. Sometimes he spoke to the people as they receive, and he also spoke this word, and he laid hands on folks. The Bible says, we just read it, Mark 16 and 18, the Bible says that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Over here in Matthew 28, 8, the Bible says that Paul and his company, they healed a man, a great man who was a leader of that island. The Bible says he laid hands on them and healed them. Laying on hands. So, let me just mention also that in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's four Gospels. Remember that? There's 19 cases of healing recorded for us by the Spirit of God. 19:1-9. 12 out of 19 cases, faith or belief is mentioned. Two-thirds of Jesus' ministry while he was on earth was a ministry of teaching and by faith to the people as far as healing is concerned. He always said, be it unto you according to your faith. What do you believe about it? He said, I believe, Lord, then you be healed. Whenever Jesus went around, they heard, wherever they heard Jesus was, the lady with the issue of blood, for example, in Mark chapter 5, in verse 28, the Bible said over there, it says Jesus went around, was going there, and a lady who heard of Jesus, faith comes by hearing. I wonder what she heard. Well, she heard what Jesus always preached. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to heal the sick. That's what he heard. I remember Brother Hagin one time, he said to us at school, he said, when Jesus appeared to me, he said to me, the first message I preach everywhere was the one you saw there in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, 19. That's found in Isaiah 61, I believe it is. He quoted Isaiah about himself, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to heal. And that's the first one he preached everywhere he went. He said, well, how do you know? Well, we can see this in the scriptures. No, he didn't tell me that, but he told someone else that. But just reading the study, if you just study, you'll see this in the scriptures. The lady with the issue of blood heard about Jesus. Well, you know, Romans 8 says, how will he hear without a preacher? How do you hear without somebody telling them? You have to hear something. Everything you heard concerning healing right now has been measured unto you. Everything you know about healing in the church has been given to you at a certain level because whatever you've been taught. And you have to ask yourself, is that true? What I receive, is that true? Or I have to understand. I want to know the truth. And so you have to understand everything you listen to. You think, well, it doesn't bother me. Well, it might, later on, it might bother you. So let's go over here, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Everybody say, know God's will. So concerning healing, the first thing you need to know regarding healing is that you have to know for sure, for a fact, if you want the healing and if you want to minister healing. Two ways. If you want to minister healing, and if the person who is getting healed has to know this. Number one, it's God's will to heal. If you're still in the controversy, you ain't going to get anything. James says, a man, a double-minded man is unstable in all his will. He shall receive nothing from the Lord. So here in the Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, and when he has come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So right in verse 2, the leper believed that Jesus could do it. He believed that God could do it, but he didn't believe that he could do it for him. And this is where a lot of Christians are, a lot of churches are. They believe, oh yeah, God does it. He does heal people, but I don't know if he'll do it for me. It's a controversy. You got to believe. You got to either be in one camp or the other camp. Can't be just vacillating up and down. One day, oh God healed me. Next day, oh God didn't heal me. I guess I thought he healed me. I felt the power. Whether you feel any power has nothing to do with it. Whether you fell over under the power, whether someone told you, it's what you know. Yourself. Because the devil will come around and he'll bug you when your best friends are not around and tells you you're not healed. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the devil came to me. I was driving my car going to Kenora, Ontario. That's where I worked. And he sat in the back seat and said to me, you were not filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet I had a glorious experience. People would wish they would want to have what I had. They never had it. but had glorious experience. You know, Jesus had a glorious experience at the River Jordan, and he was getting baptized. The Holy Spirit, he come out of the water. The Spirit descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." He had that experience. And right after that, the devil comes over and told him, "If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread." You know what I'm saying? Devil, listen. Jesus never said, "Listen, devil, you heard the voice of my Father. You were there. You saw me. You saw the devil coming on me." He never talked about any of those experiences. He just said, "Here's what my word says. It is written." And so that's how you have to come about different things. It is written. If you have "it is written" about healing, you're going to make it. You can't go down. Verse 3, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So he corrected himself right in that place. He said, you know, okay, yeah. So knowing God's will is important for every situation in life. You'll need to know God's will on anything you face, including healing. God's word is God's will. And his will is the final authority on any subject. The leper who came to Jesus knew that Jesus could heal him, but he wasn't sure if Jesus would heal him or that God is willing to heal him. People say this, "Oh, I'm not good enough." No one's good enough. You know, "I don't serve enough. I don't do this enough. I'm not righteous enough." We all make these things, you know. We're never going to make it on our own merit, right? God loves you, and if you come to him, he'll help you. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will. I will." When Jesus said, "I will," it's God's will. The four Gospels, the 19 cases of healing, teach every one of us what we need to know about divine healing, whether to minister healing or how to get it. And Jesus said, "It's my will, it's God's will to heal. Be healed." That's the first thing you have to deal with concerning healing. That's written in the four Gospels. And that case is given to us so that we can examine it closely and see how Jesus did it. The Bible says in the first chapter, I believe it is over there in Hebrews, that Jesus, or the third chapter, that Jesus is the will of God in manifestation. And Jesus said in the Gospels of John, he said, "Everything I did, everything I do, everything I say is from the Father." And so when we follow Jesus, we have to know, you know, how did he do it? It's God's will. Praise God. Say, thank God. Healing belongs to me. Healing is in the word. You know, what the leper happened to him shows us it's God's will to heal. I know that God's will is to heal. But not everybody is going to receive it for various reasons. I don't know why, but some don't receive it. They say, "Oh, I was born this way. I could never have this. I was born this way." So they have that. They can't never get healed because that's the way they're born. Someone told them that, the medical science, they believe everything everybody else told them. But they, you know, we've heard cases where people were healed, were wrapped up in the wheelchair like this, and all of a sudden they break out because something happened. They heard the message. Hallelujah. Let's go to another one. I know we got 11:55 here, but I think you could do it. You could stand it. I believe in you. How many of you, if you have to go, then you're gonna have to go. But we won't stop you. Maybe we will. Ushers, lock the door. Matthew chapter 8. You got that? Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. You find this interesting? Yes. Two people, praise God. Well, we got it. We keep going. Okay. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 10, and then verse 13. "And when Jesus entered the Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, 'Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented.' Jesus said unto him, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shalt come under my roof. Notice this, but speak the word only. My servant shall be healed. He didn't say my servant might be healed. There's a good chance he will. He said he shall be healed. Just speak the word. Jesus, speak the word. You know? What's the word speaking to you? Right? Oh, maybe, John, maybe. No. What's the word say? Well, the doctor said, never mind what the doctor said. You know? Well, look at so-and-so. Don't look at him. Right? We say, well, what about so-and-so? He's a minister. He died. Well, we're not going to look at him. We want to what the word says. There's a few ladies in here. This lady here was dying, basically, a number of years ago. God healed her. God brought her back to life. This one right over here. She was dying, had nowhere to turn but Jesus, right? Dying. Body eating itself. There's one woman over here. One day had a serious stroke and God brought her back. I can tell different ones in the church heard the message. Hallelujah. Amen. The word works. Amen. There's living proof in this church. Yeah. There's people that have been broke, had no money. They got money today. Amen. That's me. Amen. I don't have any debt. I have no Visa, no MasterCard, no debt at all. This church has no debt at all. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So, well, you say, well, what a wonderful man. Oh, yeah. No, listen. I did without. I said, I'm not going to buy that. I want to live debt free. I'm going to use my faith where I'm at. Now, it's not a sin to borrow. If you need to borrow, borrow. That's fine. And I'll do it too if I have to. I'll do it again if I have to. But we wanted to be debt free. I didn't want anybody, like I said, well, somebody said, well, if somebody never gives you money again, well, listen, money's coming no matter what you think. God will bless you if you stay faithful. We made it a goal. We started, when we bought our house, we said, let's put money in there. Let's pay it every week if we have to. And we did. Paid off our house earlier. Our own house earlier, years before. Bought this building, paid it off earlier than ever. Well, God, that's how God is, right? Now, I didn't go out and buy a F-100. I don't want a bill. I mean, I could actually buy one right now if I want to. Maybe two. But I don't, I put my money, we're in the church. I think I probably put more money in this church than anybody else in this room. Over the years, just double up on any tithe I have. I just double up and give extra offerings. You know, that's how you have to be. Follow what the word of God says. Amen? So, speak the word only. I speak the word only over my own life. Thank God I would get up every morning. Thank God this building is paid for. Thank God this church is paid for. Every furnishing in this church is paid for. Thank God people want to give to here. Thank God there's people that don't go to this church, tithe here. They're loosely tied. They're loosely here, but they give. Thank God. Amen. You need to learn that kind of faith. Right? He says, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another man, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. I like when, Mark Hankin says, you got to be special if Jesus marveled at your faith. Oh, wow. Right? You got to be something marvelous, right? Jesus said, look at that guy. He marveled at this faith. He said to them that was with him, that followed, he said, verily, I said to you, have not found so great faith, not in Israel. Israelites, they had the Word of God. They had the Bible. There are some Christians that have faith in their heart, never use their faith, or never really listened. Because you could be in church, listening to messages all the time, but never really having it work for you. We see this right here. We see it in other categories. We see this same kind of mention over there about the, you know, when Jesus told the man there about Elisha. Elisha was not sent to Elijah and Elisha, right? He was not sent to Israel and so forth, so on. It's amazing where you should have faith. Why were there so many lepers in Israel at that time? They shouldn't have had the leprosy, according to the Old Testament, according to the Word of God. Listen to that for a moment. So when Jesus heard, he marveled to them that followed. He said, "Verily, I found not so great faith, no, not in Israel." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go that way as thou hast believed, be it unto you." What are you believing? What do you believe about it? Great faith is this. Just go ahead, say the word. What does the word say about it? Okay, I believe it. I don't have to have any kind of, I don't have anybody confirming it. I don't have to have anybody, any elder tell me. I don't have to have anybody, any guy prophesy over me. I don't have anybody say something to me. I believe it. I believe the word. Lift up your hands. Say, I believe the word.
I believe the word.
Say, thank God. I can believe the word. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, everybody, stand up. Oh, hallelujah. I believe faith is in the house. Amen. Faith is in the house. Glory to God. Father, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Come on, just go ahead and worship where you are. Don't wait for the music. Thank him. Give him praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. We confirm your word. We say, yes, Lord. It's from me. It's mine. I have it now. I'm not trying to get healed. I'm not trying to believe I'm healed. Yes, I have symptoms there, but I believe the word. I choose to believe the word. I side in with the word of God. It's mine. I have it now. Why would I try to get it? Jesus got it from me. He's got it from me. I have it now in the name of Jesus.